Can you guys hear me okay? You want me to use the mic?
No, we're good.
Yeah, can you understand my accent? It's a problem, yeah.
I know.
I'll try and talk a little bit more slowly than I normally talk because I do have a few blank faces staring back at me sometimes when I use weird words or I just potentially lose the audience based on my heritage. So I grew up in New Zealand. I now live in New York. So really, really happy to come over to this conference and talk to you a little bit about life tiles and the modern workplace or the intelligent workplace and how that relates to AI. Okay, and AI is, it's such a broad word. Okay, and we're going to be talking about it today in terms of NLP and chatbots and some of the things that you could be thinking about in terms of how that can bring productivity to your workforce and to your customers. So LiveTiles is about 3 years old. We've grown very quickly. We have a market cap of around about 300 million in those last 3 years. We're listed on the Australian Stock Exchange. And we grew out of the problem of businesses have all these different systems. Okay, and they have Salesforce, they have Box or Dropbox, and then they have legacy on-prem systems. How do you bring all that together? Okay, how do you empower your workforce to be productive by using all these different systems? And how do you do it in a meaningful way for the different personas or roles in the business? Okay, let's say myself, as working as a consultant, is going to use technology very differently than, let's say, the CEO or a personal assistant, or let's say a frontline worker. And what we tried to solve through software is to bring all that together in a meaningful way for our customers. And that's what we call the intelligent workplace. To be the intelligent workplace, though, you need two types of intelligence. And I feel like we only really concentrate on one. Okay, we all think that AI is going to be the be-all and end-all of kind of, you know, removing jobs or replacing jobs. We see it in a much more complementary fashion. And I'll be completely honest, AI at the moment is largely pretty dumb. Okay, or certainly the type of AI that we are implementing in business. That will change. That will absolutely change. But what I want to focus on today is the human side of this, okay, and the artificial side of it. Who in this room has been involved in a digital transformation project? Yes. Did it go well?
No.
Sometimes yes, no, yep. We have been digitally transforming for years. Okay, we could argue that, you know, taking a PDF that was printed out and looking at it on an iPad is digital transformation. Okay, but is that intelligent transformation? And that's what we're focusing on now. As we move through to the future and we start looking at things like bots, or we like to term them cobots, okay, so it's not a replace, it's a complementary type solution where we can free up human resource or human capacity to focus on the more intelligent or the higher value elements to their jobs. The other thing that I want to call out today is, how do we do this with lean IT teams? Okay, so we speak to a lot of customers who say we don't have huge budgets. We don't have a host of developers that can go out, test, trial this stuff, and build these custom solutions. What we wanted to do was, how do we do this with a very lean and agile IT team? How can we do it that's kind of a cloud-first mentality? So we started thinking about some of the building blocks. Okay? And firstly is that in all of your businesses, I presume, there are going to be different roles, okay, different people, and they're all going to have different needs. And if we want to start talking about personalization, which is a key tenet to how we start providing AI and supporting these users, we need to understand those different needs. We need to simplify the chaos. Okay? Who here has about 15 different tabs open on their computer when they log in the morning? Yep. And then you're like, and you've probably got 10 Internet Explorers or Firefox windows open. You're constantly switching between all these systems. And then IT or the business goes, wait, we've got a massive breakthrough. We're going to give you a new system to use. And now we're going to train you on it. But you're still going to use all the old systems as well. Okay, so it became very complex for a lot of users, especially those that are not information workers. Okay, the sort of people that sit in front of computers from day to day. How do we deliver the content out to the right people? Okay. For example, I've got a meeting at 11 o'clock this morning. I want to know the document that I worked on last week that's relevant to that particular meeting. Okay. Once we start learning about the sort of ways that people work, we can deliver really meaningful experiences. Okay. We see this through Amazon and websites at the moment. Okay? You're always surprised how often your choices or your browsing kind of permeates through the different websites that that you navigate to, how you're being tracked and how they start pushing content that's relevant to you. Exactly the same approach needs to happen inside the firewall, okay, inside the workplace. We need to change it. Okay? I spent about 10, 12 years delivering intranets or portals, and one of the most common things that I saw was that you spend 3 months building something and then your needs change but you run out of budget so we can't do anything about it and we'll wait another 3 years until we have the budget to actually build the next version or iteration of that. Okay, so it needs to be flexible. And ideally it needs to be flexible or changed by people that has have a wide variety of skill sets, so not just developers. Okay, we often refer to them as IT pro. Okay, people that have a little bit of an understanding about technology, but not from that developer mindset. We also want to make sure that it's enterprise-grade security in terms of the governance model around that. Okay, that's a bit of a challenge. Okay, anyone here who works in an IT team that is surprised that the business has gone out and put their credit card in and put another app into the ecosystem that you're actually starting to manage. Okay, so shadow IT, we're seeing this happen a lot within our customers. We actually work with a really large retail company, and they have the governance model that if you can't prove at the end of the year that more than 15% of the workforce is using this particular tool, then they stop paying the bill. Okay, so they're saying, if you want to go out and buy something, cool, we'll support that, but you've got to prove to us that people are actually getting value from it. Okay, quite an interesting model. And you also need to make sure that it's aligned to your roadmap. Okay, what are you going to be doing now? What are you going to be doing in 5 and 10 years down the line? So thinking about some of those things, we think about the intelligent workplace as being a number of building blocks. Okay, it doesn't mean that it's Microsoft or Google or Dropbox. Okay, it can be any number of these. There's a number of things that you need to see in an organization. Firstly, you need a mechanism to get content to people. Okay, documents, pages, videos, social, whatever that might be, you need a way to get that out to your users. But the second most important part about this is profiling, understanding how your users are actually using it. Okay, so building up a signal pipeline of how I actually work. Now, once you start building up that information, that's when you can start doing cool stuff. Okay, so for example, knowing that I had a meeting at midday today, it's with my manager, and it's about the latest reporting for the quarter, being smart enough to understand that I've been using Power BI, how about I surface that Power BI chart or visualization that I've been working on the last couple of days? Okay, so starting to connect some of these signals within that pipeline and providing that deep personalization. Bots are part of this. Okay, largely at the moment, the bots that are being built are pretty dumb, but they're getting a lot smarter. They're very reactive, okay, and they're going to be turning into a much more proactive model. There are, I think, 300,000 bots on Facebook at the moment. I've yet to find one that actually provides any value. And I think businesses are finding this internally when they're investing money into bots. They're not maybe having the successes that they'd hoped for. And really, the kind of end goal that we're thinking about, I'm going to talk about this in a moment, is the digital personal assistant. Okay? You guys have seen all the movies out there in 2040, 2050, where you're conversing with a computer through voice, and it's doing everything from turning your lights on and off and managing your life. That whole idea around a digital personal assistant for everyone, okay, that is configurable by that person to meet their needs. Okay, this idea of an assistant is not just in the realm of a CEO or a CIO. Okay, IT, computing, AI should be out there to help all of us to be more effective. And then intelligence on it. Okay, so how do I know when things are working and not working? Okay, so we think about this in terms of recommendations. Okay, so looking at things like chat logs and saying, hey, do you know that word that you thought everyone was calling that thing? It's actually not right. They're calling it this rather than that. And I'll give you a great example. Back in Australia or New Zealand, if I wanted to go on holiday, I would say book leave. So I'd say to the bot, book me some leave. Okay, and it goes off to SAP or Workday or whatever that system is and starts that process. If I said book leave to most of the faces here, you wouldn't know what I'm talking about. You would say take vacation. Okay? So programming that NLP model to understand those nuances between the way that we interact with technology, certainly through conversational UI, but also through voice, that's the tricky part at the moment. It's actually not the integration with the systems. And we heard this morning in the keynote that it's actually relatively simple to start connecting these systems together, particularly when they are cloud-first systems. Why should you care? Okay, chatbots could be just a fad. We don't think so. We think they're here to stay. Gartner's done some interesting research on this. And they said by next year we'll be having more conversations with bots than our spouse, okay, which is kind of frightening, but we do spend a bit of time at work. But even more surprising, I found by 2021, more than 50% of enterprises will be spending more on bots than they do mobile apps. Okay, so that's a big shift in how we are engaging our customers, okay, outside the firewall, but also our workforce inside the firewall. Okay, you're seeing this with, you know, Sonos, you're seeing it with Amazon, who all have voice-activated assistants at the moment. And we're working with a large kind of media and hotel organization that wants voice to be the center point of when you walk into the hotel room, everything from changing the channel to booking your room service, okay, to checking out at the end of your stay. So plugging all those things together and delivering that in a meaningful way is quite challenging. Has anyone here had a frustrating engagement with a chatbot online or a disappointing outcome
Siri.
With a chatbot?
Siri, yep, Siri.
Yep, I don't even bother. It does not understand New Zealand speaking people at all. I've given up.
And you can select a New Zealand voice.
I know, it still doesn't get. Yeah, it was probably created by an American for a New Zealand.
Probably.
Messaging applications. Okay, we heard WhatsApp and WeChat mentioned a few times today. These are overtaking traditional social media applications like the Facebook and the LinkedIn. Okay, and these are great vehicles to start pushing these bots out. Anyone see Google Duplex? The video that came out about 2 or 3 months ago where I think they rang up to book a hair appointment or book an appointment and they got a little bit of heat because they didn't advise the person that they were speaking to that they're actually speaking with a bot. Okay, so some interesting moral and ethical implications that start coming around these things. But the technology is getting there. It's not perfect by any means, but it's getting there in terms of how well it can actually emulate the sort of way that a human would interact with another human. We think about bots, and particularly chatbots, in four different ways. And to be honest, we built our software for a personal assistant. Probably a couple of years ago is when we started investing in this, and we were wrong. We thought that we could build software that a user, okay, a non-technical user, could use our platform to start building a bot to help them do their job, okay, help them do their work. We're probably 5 to 7 years ahead of when that's actually going to happen. Okay, we worked out pretty quickly that most people have no idea how to configure a chatbot, even if we make it really simple through the UI to help them do their jobs. So what we're focusing on now, or what we're seeing with our customers, is around enterprise assistants and external assistants. So how do you build a bot that services multiple people through scale? And some of the things that you want to be thinking about in terms of, how do I start with this? Okay, if you are interested in starting to leverage this technology, there's a kind of a right way and a wrong way to go about it. And we've done the wrong way, okay? So we've learned from that. So hopefully this will give you a bit of an idea of where you should be thinking. And the key things I want to kind of point out here really is start with the high-value, low-risk examples. I go into some sales meetings with some prospective customers, and they have these amazing ideas of what these bots are going to do. Technically, they are feasible, but unlikely to be successful. Okay, so what we try and do is say, well, let's start on some of these kind of high-value, low-risk use cases. And they tend to start around things like knowledge bases. Okay, what are the sort of common, repeatable processes that people in your business are either answering, okay, this could be in a call center, okay, working with a customer that makes beds, okay, and they have to staff their call center in the middle of the night, funnily enough, where they get all their calls about the bed not working, you know, did you remove the spring or the plastic or whatever that might be. And they have kind of a 90 to 95% repeatability on the sort of questions that they get asked. So they're actually using our bot to reduce the amount of people they need to staff that call center in the evening. this starts having some interesting impacts. You know, you are enabling the workforce to work in a way that's meaningful to them. Okay, they want to work throughout the day. You're offloading some of the common, repeatable activities that they're doing. And then they would have a warm handoff, or we call it landing gracefully. Okay, when a bot doesn't know what to do, how do you get it to someone that knows what to do? Okay, and that's generally a human. Okay, so some really interesting ways to think about this. But in terms of the 80-20 rule as well, don't try and do everything with a bot. Uber bots will fail. I can guarantee it. We've built them, they don't work. And what I mean by an Uber bot is the bot that tries to be everything to everyone. Okay? And I'll give you two reasons why. Firstly, the technology is not good enough to understand the modeling beneath it. Okay? The more things that you actually add into the bot, the less likely you're going to get the right outcome. We're seeing this with some of our law customers. Okay, they might have 12 to 1,500 different policies or ways that they interact or follow a process. Okay? The technology is simply a model that goes, I think that's the best answer, it's a 70 or 80% match, I'm going to then go back to the user with that match. Okay, so what we're seeing is more bots that talk to each other. Okay, so have discrete bots that do things really, really well. And the travel bot, okay, can then converse with the concierge bot. Okay? And that's why we're building a platform that's around managing all the bots in the organization. Also look to enhance an existing experience. Okay, so take something that you understand well in your business. Okay? So rather than try and build something completely new that you don't really understand yet, it's a much, much safer way to start. Finally, where are your users and how do you want to interact with them? Okay, are they website users? Okay, so customers that you might want to have on your website that pops up and allows them to converse. Pretty common on a lot of websites now for buying insurance. I tried to buy insurance when I moved to New York through one of the major providers. And I gave up because it didn't give me the option to actually select the amount of coverage that I needed and didn't give me an opportunity to land gracefully. It just kept repeating the same question over and over again and then gave me an unsmiley face or an unhappy face. Okay? So the experience that I had with that bot was poor. And it's really, really hard, if you have a poor experience, to bring those users back on board to start leveraging that technology. And if you go and have a play with some of the bots on Facebook, you'll find exactly the same outcome. The sort of things that you want to be thinking about if you are going to engage in a bot or build a bot, does it simplify an interface? Does it actually make something easier than it was before? Can you provide it through the path of least resistance? If you have to give a user a new piece of technology to deploy that bot, in addition to the 15 other systems that I mentioned that I've got open before, it's likely that bot's going to fail. Okay, so think about the channels that you might want to push out. We have a lot of Slack users, I think I heard before. Okay, Slack, great channel to push bots out. Maybe it is Messenger. Maybe it is Teams or through the web. Does it bring together disparate information sources in the business? And this is really the killer at the moment, when you're starting to do things like Q&A. Okay, you want to start bringing together that information to save that user to have to go out and get it. We have a lot of comments, aren't bots just search? Okay. Well, isn't a chatbot just a search tool? You know, don't you just type some terms in? Anyone want to hazard a guess about how bots are different to search? It's a tricky question.
Sort of more persistent, as in there. I mean, it's like it's they're listening. I mean, like you do a search, it's like okay, that's what's that second.
But, yep.
You know, I mean, even if it's just a search bot, it's still it's. I'm assuming it's going to be constantly looking for updates to whatever it's.
Yes. So it's contextually aware. Okay. Google knows a lot about you, but it doesn't know everything about you. Okay. But with a bot, we are providing that cognitive layer over that information. Okay, it could be proactive or reactive. Okay, so it could be me going to the bot, but it could be the bot coming to me. We did a hackathon in Australia the last couple of weeks where the bot actually advised people on a real estate site if they were looking at a house that was in a floodplain, okay, or had high fire risk. I'm sure the people advertising those homes weren't too happy about this. And this was actually just delivered through a Chrome extension. Okay, so they're providing a lot more of that cognitive layer around it instead of search. But they also allow you to go through a particular path or process. Okay, so a search is just giving you results. Now, it can be smart around the sort of words that you type in and understanding the synonyms, but it's not going to allow you to go through a particular process. go after information where it lives. Okay, if you are moving information out of the system to actually connect it to a bot, okay, you're causing more of a heartache for yourself, and you're probably not saving yourself any productivity, say, or cost savings in terms of what the bot's trying to achieve. Does it improve the current process? And does it actually reduce the workload? Okay, we've built bots, and when we put it in front of the user, it didn't actually help them that much. And that's cool. Okay, learn from that, understand that, and then realize that there might be a different use case that you want to engage with. So I'll talk about a few examples here with some of our customers. Airlines are an interesting one, so large frontline workforces, okay, and I presume in your industry as well, you know, you have quite elastic or seasonal workforces if they're, you know, working on a production. They also, well, this particular airline had a number of PR challenges in the past, okay, and I'm not going to go into those, but when we start dealing with things like service animals, okay, or dealing with intoxicated passengers, they wanted a bot that would help the gate agent, who may only get trained every 2 to 3 years, make exactly the right decision. Okay, so let's assume that you want to remove a passenger off a plane. You don't want to kick off your loyal flyers, right? Your platinums, your golds. Okay, so you need it plugging into the system to make sure that it's not going to kick off your loyal flyers. There might be processes that they need to follow, so guiding them through those processes. In this case, there are about 20 different systems, from passenger manifest systems, loyalty systems, and this user had to click through all these different systems to make sure that they were actually abiding this particular process. Even down to the point where we can start taking photos of service animals and using image recognition to say, is this a legitimate service animal? Okay, this is a cat, not a dog or a chicken. Okay? I have actually seen a German Shepherd that was a service animal dog on a flight that I took with Delta. Can't believe they let it on. This poor person that sat next to the dog, so this person with the service animal, had no leg room because this huge German Shepherd was the service dog led onto the plane. Now that might be within their policy, but this bot was about making sure that this gate agent followed the rules in this particular case. Even down to, if I'm going to boot someone off the plane, how about I check their email address against their Twitter handle and see whether they have 40,000 members that they might want to tweet about this situation. And you might not always get a hit, but now we're starting to plug together some of those different systems, add smarts to that bot so they can make the best decision in a difficult situation. Also working with a large entertainment company who owns theme parks, amongst other things. So their challenge was, we have so much training material. Okay, some of it is video, some of it is text, some of it's printed out. It's all in different systems, from a learning management system to an Office 365, to proprietary systems. How do we bring this together in a meaningful way and not take everyone off their job for 2 to 3 training, or, you know, training days every year, to make sure that they are up with the latest way to use this technology? Okay, so the idea was a bot that would provide them a guided experience that would allow them to actually start interacting with this content in a way that was meaningful for them. I'll give you an example with another entertainment company we're working with at the moment. They are a motor speedway, and they have tens of, if not hundreds of thousands of people that turn up for a race weekend. And they have concierges that kind of walk around and help people. You know, how do I get to the car park? Where are the toilets? I need medical assistance. And their digital transformation was, we're taking the 90-page PDF and putting it on an iPad and giving it to our concierges. And they literally did a control F, okay, so a find in the document to find the right place, and then hopefully give the right information to the person they were engaging with. And a bot is replacing that. And the difference being is the bot is contextually aware. So the bot knows that this is the first Saturday of the month, and the parking lot is in parking lot A, not parking lot D. Okay, so the concierge, in that case, doesn't even need to understand the complexity information. The bot is handling that for them. Okay, does the person I'm engaging with need directions to the parking lot? Great, click on a button that's going to send it to their mobile phone, and they'll get Google Maps or Apple Maps kind of walking instructions to get where they need to go. Okay, so taking a relatively simple example of digital transformation, using a bot in this particular circumstance to wrap intelligence around that. Any questions?
Yeah.
questions about these examples? A few other examples of projects that we are working on at the moment. A lot of examples of HR marketing, so internal concierge, okay, employee onboarding, really common horizontal example. Does any business do onboarding that well? I'd argue that 80% of businesses don't. There's lots of areas for improvement there. Even just things like simple requests in a business. Okay, so forms, complex forms with lots of tabs, they're a really good place to start with bots. Because what the bot can do is it can understand the user, their profile, what information they need to capture, and in many cases that information is being stored about the user anyway, and simplify some of those interfaces they might be interacting with. I want to leave it at that with this chat today. I'm more than happy to open up and answer some questions, or if there's interest talking through some of these examples, I'll do my best. I think the key thing that I want to leave you with today is to start small. Okay? We believe bots are going to be prolific in the enterprise. They are going to get a lot smarter over time. And we are already seeing our customers deal with the governance issues that we've had with portals in the past. Okay? Once you have five portals, it's fine. What about when you have 5,000? Who owns them? Who manages them? Okay? Who do you get in contact with when they fail? We're going to have the same challenges with bots as they proliferate out through an organization. We aim to make that really simple by having a platform whereby which you can manage that governance and build them in a consistent and repeatable way. We're also looking into some of the ethics and morality around bots. I had a lot of discussions with HR managers who are really concerned about kind of the replacement approach to bots in the enterprise, and is AI going to replace rather than assist? And we're also looking at some of the economic implications of bots as well. Doing some research in that space around, well, if bots are going to do all this stuff for us, can we work less? Do I need to work 5 days a week or 8 hours a day? Okay, if I'm doing this higher value type work in the business, maybe I can work 25 or 30 hours per week. Okay? And if that becomes the case, where are all the tax dollars going to come from? Are we going to start taxing bots? Okay? So there's some research being done in this space, and we don't pretend to have all the answers, but I think it's opening up a pretty interesting area of discussion around AI and in particular bots, and also where bots are failing. Okay? So if you're not doing your job, or someone's not doing their job, you ring up their manager and say, hey, Tom's not doing their job, right? And you either put them on performance management, put them on training, whatever the solution is to that particular scenario. What happens when a bot's not doing their job? Okay, who do you ring up? You're going to ring the IT department? And they go, it's not my bot. Business owns it. Business can do it. Okay, so we're starting to think around some of those same governance challenges that we've seen in the kind of enterprise content management space and how they're going to proliferate into the bots and AI space. So thank you very, very much for coming along and listening to us today. I'm happy to field any questions. Yes?
What's the barrier to entry for, I saw your list of partners that you work with as far as would we need an API to open up exposed to you, or how do you connect with the boxes and Dropboxes and other?
Yeah, so it depends on the system, but we provide some of that through a unified API. We work with a company called Cloud Elements. Anyone heard of Cloud Elements before? They're kind of cool. They go out and unify APIs. And what they do is they say, all right, the top five CRMs in the enterprise are Salesforce, Dynamics, Sugar CRM, NetSuite, for example. And they provide a unified API to us, so immediately we can support all of those CRMs as an endpoint that you might want to connect to. Okay, so that allows us to scale through the different systems rather than us write APIs for all of those systems. Our UI is about not using a developer skill set. Okay, so happy to give you a demo downstairs. Romy's down there. She can show you how the system works, but it's all about configuring it using technology that you probably already own. Okay, not using developers, and then being able to leverage or reuse what we call those abilities across the enterprise. So a no-code approach. there will be absolutely custom abilities. Okay, there will be situations where you're going to have to get a developer to crack open Visual Studio and build something that's niche for your ability or use case. What we're trying to do is say that the majority of things you might be doing in the early stage of bots probably don't need to go that far. Yes?
Have you had any projects yet that deal with cobots for digital asset management or content protection?
Yep. Okay, so it's a good point. Give me an example, one of the systems.
Yeah, so I was going through a file, and I remember that it had, it was like 5 minutes long, and I'm pretty sure it was an MPEG-4, but I'm not too sure. I can communicate with a robot to try and track down that content. Or on the security side of things, hey, so I'm noticing users are accessing this data. Is this something you would like to look into? Kind of like a cyber police force using your robot. So in the same way that the manual was used and people were searching within the manual and the robot was intelligent enough to say, hey, I think you mean this, or the parking's over here. Is it possible to set up a cobot that would be able to scan, because you're using the network, that's the coding side of things, to be able to alert a cyber team that content's being accessed possibly by someone who doesn't have proof?
So probably the easiest way to think of this is the different layers that you're using. Okay, so you've got your underlying content that's sitting in your DAM. Okay, it could be imagery or videos. As long as you've got an API to pull that system out and engage with its metadata, which most of those systems are going to have. Then you're going to have the NLP piece. Okay, and that goes back to that point around, hey, do I call it booking leave or do I say taking vacation? Okay, understanding how the user wants to interact and actually, we call it an utterance, okay, in chatbot terms. What are we uttering and what's the intent? What are the things that we're trying to do? So that's where the NLP piece comes in with cognitive services. What you're then talking about is the models on top. What is the machine learning piece that is the smarts around understanding that, you know, a dozen people have accessed this file in the last hour when none of them had any permissions to access that file? That should be raising flags. And that's when you're building either through R or other modeling techniques that additional layer on top. Okay, we are that piece that is the UI and the NLP piece. Okay, we don't pretend to own your data. You have your data. We don't want to bring that into our system, but we would use an API to connect to it. We provide the smarts around the NLP and how they might want to connect to it and utter those things and those intents.
So it's like layers of integration. You provide the framework that connects the data to something, but we have to go find the something to connect it to the integration.
You have to find you have the systems, right?
Yeah.
So you have an endpoint. Okay, so we have a webhook to communicate with that. We can then build that language model around how you want to engage with them.
Okay.
And if I say open, what happens when I say open? What does it do? You know, query or security, then what does it actually go off and do in those particular circumstances?
Okay. Awesome.
Thank you everyone for your time. I just want to point